The essence of creativity. How can we use creative elements on Sunday? We'll talk about it today.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey friends, welcome to the podcast. On today's episode, I welcome three great guests, so we're going to jump in pretty quickly. I'm going to be talking today to my old friend Gary Molander from Floodgate Productions, also Don Hopkins, who's the creative director at Transformation Church, and creative director Sharita Harkness. But first, if you missed me sharing last week, I wanted to let you know about some really big news happening at our company. We are growing pretty significantly and moving into a really exciting new chapter. And I want you to watch or listen to this video from me sharing a huge announcement and a little bit about what's to come. Watch this. Hey, ministry leader, have you ever done anything that people were confused by? I have, and that's what happened in relation to our name here at 1230 Media. We've heard the confusion every time that we've heard questions like, do you spell it out? Is it numbers? Is it letters? There's a colon in there, right? Is this a Bible verse? Is it a time of day? So, spoiler alert, we are changing our name. And here's why. It all started with the best intentions. My wife Katie and I originally wanted a name that described how our company and you do ministry. That it's not about the flash of graphics and video, it's about discipleship. So in Mark 12:30, Jesus summed up authentic ministry by saying it's when you love God and love people. Loving God and loving people is the definition of the Christian faith. It's how we walk out our faith. We couldn't have said it better, so we edited Mark 12:30 down to 1230 Media. We wanted to keep the main thing, that it was about discipleship and spiritual growth and salvation, more than just the flash of graphics and video. But as we grew, the name has been a challenge for those we serve. It's been a challenge for people like you. Well, we've heard you and we are changing our name, even though we always want to help see changed lives and it not just be about being flashy. Our brand new name will ultimately help everyone remember it and create a tighter focus on what we really do well. I know you're ready to know, but our team is not quite ready to reveal our name and our new branding yet. There's a ton of work to prepare for it to be a very clear, organized launch of our new brand. We are so excited to share it with you. That will be coming in the next few weeks. But thank you so much for letting me share this with you. I want to give you a brand new free mini movie for your time. Since we're working on our identity, we thought it would be fun to give you this brand new mini movie all about finding our identity in Christ. It's at 1230media.com/identity, and I want you to use the promo code identity. Again, 1230media.com/identity, and just put the word identity in the promo code box at checkout to get this video completely free. In a matter of weeks, I'll be sending out a video announcing our brand new name and logo. It is incredible. And you'll be excited to hear how the change will help you visually communicate the gospel. I'll see you then. Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Gary Molander. Gary, you've done two workshops here at SALT this week, one on the essence of creativity, and another on a topic that I'm really passionate about, and that is creating healthy boundaries in ministry, whether that be my leadership and how to maybe be distinct between my work life and my home life, yeah, and relating that to my senior leadership, that sort of thing, right?
Right. That's exactly it, yes. All right.
So give me, maybe let's talk essence of creativity, sure, first. What are some of the, sure, things that you shared in that workshop?
Well, I think the big takeaway was that creativity is for everyone, not just for artists. And I think that we artists get really confused when I say things like, so how many of you are creative?
Right.
And only half the room raises their hands. Okay, that's a real problem because the essence of creativity is this. We're all creative, and how do we know that? We know that when we read Genesis 1, God takes the essence of who he is, light and life. Everything he created was light and life, and he poured it into a void that would have remained empty unless he would have filled it. And then he says, I'm creating you in my image. Go do that too. So creativity at the heart level, Carl, is when we take the essence of everything we are and pour it into the voids that we experience that will remain empty unless we do something about it. So that's kind of where we went. We talked about what the voids are, what our essence might be, how our personality, our passions, our pain, the beauty, all of it.
Get me into that. So, what are some of the voids? How do I fill them?
Sure, sure. So voids can be as easy as I got a project. I mean, I need to open Photoshop and I don't have time or Illustrator, I got to do a video that makes people cry in 3 minutes, and that is a void, right?
Yeah,
and so we pour our uniqueness, we pour ourselves, the unique part that God has created, we pour ourselves into that void, and that is what God calls creativity. So this is really cool. A teacher who teaches children with special needs pours herself or himself into a void every day because if they don't, those kids aren't going to experience what God uniquely has for them. That's creativity too.
Right.
So I'm trying to say this is creativity, but this is what we really want to talk about is being an artist. So we went there.
It doesn't have to be pixels. Doesn't have to be
video
graphics.
No.
I work for Pixar, like this big creative
thing.
You in your daily life are creative.
Yes.
We're all creative.
And God is giving, he's inviting us into opportunities to fill voids that will not be filled like he wants them to, unless we're the ones to say, all right, I'm diving in.
Right.
That's creativity.
Right.
So I just encourage everybody to go do that every day.
Right.
Go do that every day, whatever that looks like. Now, for some of us, like you and I, it's our jobs, which is really cool that people pay us for that, right?
Yeah.
Mostly. but also, when you get home at night and your children are looking at you, okay, that's a moment of a void that they need filled from you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a lifestyle of creativity, man. So that's what we talked about. It was
fun. So what if I don't have the energy to step into those moments?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say bring your non-energized self into them anyway. I think God would much rather use a broken version of you than a perfect version of you anyway. So bring it, just bring it. Even I liken it to, are you being called to invited to dive into a pool? Sometimes the best we can do is stick our big toe in the water. And God goes, yeah, cool. Let me take it from here.
Right. Right. Good. All right. So let's get into the boundaries discussion.
Sure.
Give me an overview of what you talked about there.
Yeah. So it was Stephen Brewster and I tag teaming this, and we actually interviewed each other.
That's a hard combo right there. either difficult or a powerhouse combo right there. Can't determine which.
I'm going to go with the former. It was difficult. I interviewed him and he interviewed me. It was quite wonderful, actually. It was really, really fun. I talked mainly about how to set boundaries in ministry and local church ministry. I talked about a boundary. The most basic boundary setting words are yes and no. Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn how to say yes to the right things and how to say no to the things that are the wrong things, even though our leaders think they're the right things.
So definitely walk that out. how do I deal with that in ministry?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I encouraged everybody to write out 3 ways to say no without saying no, so that you have it in your hip pocket.
Okay,
right?
Good.
So I don't think we have the capacity for that right now.
Good.
That's a no.
Right.
That's a no.
Right.
And then to come alongside after and go, but if we can wait on it a few weeks, we'll nail it then.
Right.
And it'll be better.
Right.
Right. So you're giving people hope. Sometimes I also encourage them to learn to email for work and text for not work and to tell leaders that, because email and text seems to be a thing. I don't know. Are you like me where you get a text and you feel like you immediately have to answer?
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it crosses all the walls.
It really does. And so one thing, and I've shared this in another interview, one thing that our team does, I want to get your thoughts on it, is we use Slack for communication.
Okay.
And so Slack is our business communication for the work.
That's great.
text is personal.
Great.
So
great.
If I Slack you, what it means is get to it when you get to your desk. I don't need this now. This is not a rush. This is work related. Get to it when you get back. Whatever. A text is personal.
How did you come up with that?
Well, once we found Slack, just our team kind of came up with the fact that, like, I don't want to necessarily my mind space be on work when I'm at 7 o'clock at night and I need to be with my family.
But you you as the team leader, right? You're the one who had to go thumbs up on this.
I did it. I had to set and also implement it. Like it's a constant thing where we have to go. Okay, this is. Hang on a second. Is this a Slack thing? Because we need to move that
Slack
to Slack.
Or not,
I'll get
right?
to it later.
You need an axiom, right? A Slack or not. Yeah. Like that's the That's the thing.
Yeah. So I think that the same thing, email and text, very similar concept.
It is. And it's whatever is agreed upon.
Right.
And then implemented. You said the key word implemented, because if it's agreed upon but not implemented, then it's not really agreed upon.
Right.
And it's not really a value.
Right.
And so I would ask you, like I'm turning into the interviewer here, but it's, what's the value underneath that? My guess is the value is you don't want to burn people out. These
Correct.
Are good people.
Yes.
Like you're stewarding.
Yeah.
Right? All of these things.
Yeah. I would say for our team, we're all ministry guys.
Okay.
So we've all been in church world where we know that the boundaries were crossed left and right.
Okay.
And so
you all have
wounds. Yes, we do. And so I would say that is a protection of us, that we've all been through that, and we want to protect ourselves. We all know that we want to value family life, and so we want to create systems that have those boundaries, even on ourselves, you know? And so, email does that. Slack does that for us because it's like texting.
Yeah,
it's like
absolutely.
Email's a little bit more invested, I guess. Mm-hmm. Slack is a little bit more immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And so Slack is it's a good system for us.
So I love that. Whatever system it is that you come up with.
But yeah, so the value, you asked me about that, the value is we value family. We don't want to burn out like we have experienced some in ministry world. And so we want to protect that for ourselves.
Right.
We don't want to burn out. We value each other's families. We're trying to.
Right. That's amazing. And we have to be courageous enough to ask ourselves the question, why isn't that happening in most churches?
Yeah, and I would say too, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is I think sometimes even if they don't want it, there's a spiritual guilt trip sometimes.
Absolutely.
Of,
saving
well,
the world.
Don't you?
You have to change the world.
Right, right.
To save it, they're going to hell in a handbasket.
That's right. Exactly right. If you love Jesus, you do this, Gary.
Yeah, I know.
That happens, unfortunately. And so, so I like the three. There's three no's in my back pocket.
Three no's,
One is I don't have the capacity.
I don't have the capacity, and I gave them a couple other ones, and they should probably go watch the video.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I said.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's learn how to say no without just looking at someone and going, no.
Okay, so is it a no or is it a yes but? So, for instance, absolutely, leader, would you rather me, here's what's on my plate, how would you like me to prioritize this? Would you like me to take what I'm doing and keep it there and take this and put it above that in your priority list?
Yeah.
Or how do you want me to prioritize leader?
It's very simple.
But.
And I have to ask clients this, and I know you do too all the time. We just say, help me understand the priorities that get you where you want to be.
Right.
Just help me understand those priorities. Is this video the most important, or is this one, or is this one, or is this one?
Right.
And a lot of the times, the answer is, well, they all are.
Right.
And that's where you have to push. That's where you have to say, what you don't never say is, I don't have time.
Right.
Leaders don't want to hear, I don't have time.
Right. Because especially when I'm writing the paycheck.
Yes.
Like, don't tell me, even as
you
the pastor. Or you know what I mean? Like whether that's a company or a ministry position, I'm responsible for, if I'm the senior pastor or if I'm the over it, I'm going to be writing your paycheck, to speak.
That's right.
So don't tell me you don't have time. Like I'm paying for your time.
That's right.
But if you
but I don't have capacity.
Right.
It's a way of saying no. And so, and then really leaning into that prioritization.
Yep.
Help me prioritize your priorities,
and
because
leader,
I want to succeed here for you.
Yes, yes.
Right?
And as
There's
a leader, I can appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Like I can go, okay, you're not, but I would agree with you. I think I don't have time to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not as a leader what I want to hear.
No.
I probably want to hear a yes, which one I can appreciate going, okay, here's what you've given me.
Mm-hmm.
which one do you want me to do first, absolutely, and how do you want me to do it? Okay, yes. That's easy. I can make that decision.
That's exactly
put
right.
that above that and that. I know that's going to wait. Okay, done.
That's We're exactly done. Right.
That energizes me as a leader,
right?
Knowing that the team is passionate, the team is behind me.
Yeah.
We're all in the same goal together. If you say no, I almost feel a little ding of you're not. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Are you? And I think that's where some of the are you on board?
Are you
all
board?
In? Are you on mission? Don't you love Jesus?
No,
can maybe come from.
You're right. No is a hard word for any of us to hear, right? But we need to figure out a myriad of ways for our personality, whether it's Enneagram or whatever it is, right? Whatever your personality is, introvert, extrovert, whatever.
Yeah.
We have to figure out ways that make us feel like you can step with courage into the moment and say what's in your back pocket.
Right.
That is so important.
Right.
And there's this other aspect of it all, and it's people pleasing.
Right. I want to say yes because I am on board with the mission of the church.
And
I'm on board with what we're doing.
And I want them to like me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of
you're absolutely
just
right.
like me. Just I want to be liked. I don't want to be the guy on the team who everybody, it's not who I want to be.
Right.
So there's that aspect of it too. And if I say no too many times, is that going to affect our relationship? So we talked about that.
But I think on the flip side of that, if you say yes to your boss too many times, that's affecting your family. Your spouse is now getting bitter and hates your job.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You want to talk about
so
that some?
if you don't establish clear guidelines on when to say yes and when to say no, and if you always say yes, then you have to say no to someone else. It's the way it works. It's logical. When you say yes to this team over here and these people over here, you've got to say no to someone else.
Right.
Most of the time for us, we say no to our wives and to our children and to those who are, and if we're single, we're saying no to those really fun, life-giving opportunities to go out on a Saturday night because ministry calls.
Right.
And so you will build resentment over time and you will end up crashing, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I promise.
Right. And do you think that resentment comes from both sides? It's going to come from my work. Am I going to resent you if you say no too much here? And then my spouse, my family, if I say no too much over here?
Sure.
How do I balance that well?
Yeah. I mean, I ended up saying yes to most things. It's 80-20 for me. Everything's 80-20 for me. And so 80% is, I'm going to figure out a way to get that done.
Yeah.
Family, business, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The no I say is when people want to pull me into a really quick meeting and I'm just not ready. It's not urgent. They just, hey, can we talk? Hey, you know, clients, hey, can we talk? Or pastors, hey, can we talk? I just need to talk. And I will often say, I'm free in 30 minutes.
Right. This is when I'm
I can jump on in an hour. The next hour, I'm not great. That's the truth. I'm not lying at all.
Right.
But we set our own schedules.
Yep.
Right. So anyway.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
All right. What's some other takeaways from the boundaries workshop?
We talked about identity in Christ a lot.
Okay.
And so that the foundation of being able to even say that is to know who you are as a child of God. Right. It's you can't just jump into boundaries unless you know that if this job goes away, my identity doesn't. Right?
Right.
My paycheck does.
Right.
But my identity doesn't.
Yeah.
And so we talked about identity identity in Christ as being the foundation of all of it. It's where we spring from. It's not what we go back to. And we talked a little bit about that and how it relates to boundaries. And then Brewster did a much better job than I did with his stuff.
No.
He talked about culture and all sorts. Y'all should go watch it. It's really good. So anyway.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, man, Gary, I appreciate you. You've kind of been a mentor to me over the years, and I really appreciate you and your company and your ministry and everything. So,
thank
you for your time.
Great to be with you guys. Great to be with you.
Hey, ministry leader, I wanted to let you know about a great conference that we partner with. This year, the 9th annual That Church Conference will be happening at Lake Lanier, Georgia, at the resort and conference center there. My great friends Mark McDonald, Ben Stapley, Justin Dean, and others will be taking the stage along with other great speakers. This conference is October 25th and 26th. You can use the code MSH, as in Making Sunday Happen, MSH10 for 10% off the ticket price at thatcc.com just for being a faithful listener to this podcast. Again, use the code MSH10 for 10% off your ticket price at thatcc.com. Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Don Hopkins. Yeah. Don, tell me where you serve and how you serve the kingdom.
Yeah, so I'm the creative director at Transformation Church, Pastor Mike Todd, and I oversee most of the creative teams, well, all of the creative teams there. So from graphic design, videographers, photographers, special projects team, and even social media.
And where is Transformation Church?
Transformation is in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Awesome, awesome.
Good old Tornado Alley.
Yeah, so I was there like a year ago, came to a conference, and there was like a major snowstorm. I mean, killer.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
I do. I think that reached all the way even through Texas. It was crazy. We called it Snowmageddon.
It was wild. Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
That's awesome. So you guys did a workshop all about, I love this, all about the tension between the worship team and the tech team.
Yeah.
Not that that exists at all.
It doesn't exist at all.
I mean, it's
we made
a perfect, perfect relationship. All right. So tension between the worship and the tech teams.
Yes. Yeah.
So kind of walk me through that. I have a lot of thoughts here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a tech guy and just to have a great relationship with that worship leader is so important.
Sure. Well, one of the tensions is we have expectations and requirements or request, and we don't fully understand what it takes to pull that off. And so what happens is typically we'll need something from production, and production is usually the last ones to know, right?
Good.
We have 2 months of planning, 2 months of trying to figure things out, and he's like, oh, we need to talk to production. And production's like, wait, when did this become a thing?
Right.
And so we have to value our teams, right? Production, any technical team, creative teams, worship teams, with good, proper, clear communication from the beginning.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. And I think the more there is synergy between those two.
Absolutely.
Even knowing what songs to do on Sunday is like basic, but like even having meetings with that, if I'm a tech guy, having meetings with the worship leader during the week, like, hey, sit down with my pro presenter lyrics here and let's make sure that we're on the same page so that I know where to put camera shots. I know where to, like all of that. If we can work together on that.
Then
we're a team on
Absolutely.
Sunday.
Absolutely, and kind of alluding to what you're saying, there's a lot of people who don't understand what it takes, and so we'll come with a request that we think is, oh, I only asked you to upload this to Disguise.
Right.
Like, it's just a simple graphic.
It's easy.
But you're like, no, this takes five different processes to get it loaded. This is not a quick ask.
Right.
And but if we had a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of foundation, and that doesn't mean you become a pro. That doesn't mean develop a skill set. It just means say, hey, can we go out to lunch? Talk to me about what you do. What does it take to do some of the things you do? That way I have a better understanding. When I come with a request, I know, hey, we need to give them a little bit leeway and enough time to be able to do what we're trying to get them to do.
Man, I think you're so right. Especially like I'm thinking video world. If a worship leader or somebody asks for, hey, just can you tweak that one word? What they're not realizing is that one word, I got to get into the project file. That render alone of the video takes overnight.
Hey, and people don't know that.
Sometimes.
That's the moon to them. Like, render? What does that mean?
Right. You I don't know even mean? Know what that...
Because they don't know.
Yeah. And on the flip side, you know, a tech guy can ask a worship leader to do something, not having a clue how long it takes or, oh, I need to get these things together for that. So absolutely agree. So what are some other things that you guys talked about?
So we talked about the creative process that was laid out as an example in scripture by God himself.
Yes.
And so... it's the Asians, right? It's God, when he created man, he created the world. He went through a process, and that process was he had an ideation phase, right? He had to think about what it is that he wanted and give vision to it. Proverbs talks about how everything was created for a purpose, right? And then God went from the ideation stage to creation. You got to get out of your head. We think about things forever. It's like, you know what? I'm just trying to make sure it's right. Okay. God knew when it was time to stop thinking and dig into the dirt, right? Yep. And so then third, you have the evaluation phase. God saw everything step by step and says, yes, that's good. Okay, next thing, saw that it was good. Next thing, he saw that it was good, right? You have to evaluate along the way, not after it's all said and done and then evaluate, because now you don't know if what your original vision or goal was has deviated from its path. And that happens. So you evaluating on the way, along the way, allows you to course correct if something does get out of alignment.
Right.
And then the last one is relaxation. And this is the one we don't think about. God rested. After he did his work, and he didn't rest because he was weary, he was tired. He rested because he wanted us to understand the importance of being able to enjoy the fruit of our labor and what we produce.
So I agree with you that we spend a lot of time on the first two.
Yep.
A little bit of time on that
evaluation.
I think sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Relaxation is definitely
we don't relax.
A foreign concept.
Don't rest. Yeah.
Even like a, you know, take Monday off, or may or may not, because there's meetings.
Right.
You know,
right.
So talk to me about what you shared in your workshop about how we can correct those two areas, yeah. Especially.
I mean, evaluation is just being intentional. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I value and I want to steward well what God has given me. So I want to make sure that the vision is true. At the end of it all, did we stick to the vision that God gave us? Good. And if we didn't, why? And next time, how do we eliminate from getting off course again? Yep. And the best way to do that is evaluate. Did we accomplish what? Okay, let's move to the next phase. Did we accomplish what? Yes, we did. Okay, next phase. Did we? It's a little off. Okay, well, let's tweak it.
How do we do that and be distinctive between, that's my baby, don't be.
You got to let go of your
telling
pride.
Telling my baby's ugly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How do we do that? How do we let go of our pride?
We have to let go of our pride. And honestly, that's where collaboration comes into play. Because a lot of times we'll have an idea. We'll get that idea solidified. We may go to pastor and say, hey, pastor, I have this idea. He's like, oh, I love that. Run with it. And now we feel like the king of the territory. Hey, pastor approved my idea,
right?
Not our idea. Language is important.
Right.
And so now I have this pride in me that says, hey, this is my idea and this is my vision and we got to make it happen.
Yeah. And I think that compounds itself when you're in a staff meeting and
absolutely.
That pastor is going, hey, that was Don's idea right
it
there. Hey, everybody, that's Don's idea.
Yeah. So a fundamental.
That's going to puff me up even more.
And a fundamental way to help with that is it's our project. It's our mission.
Yep.
It's our goal. It's our vision. And so even if it's again, it's a pride thing. You have to get rid of your pride and you have to be willing to be, as we say at Transformation Church, hot, humble, open and transparent. Hey, man, like, be honest about where you are with that. But again, if we are all collaborating, we're all involved in the vision from the beginning. We all have buy-in. We all have ownership in it.
So you got lots of hot people at Transformation Church. That's what you're saying?
A lot of hot people.
Nice. All right. So talk to me about relaxation. What are some ways that we can relax?
Relax. That's a great one. There's a few different ways to relax. One thing is a foundational part of relaxing is setting boundaries for yourself. No one is able to honor boundaries that don't exist.
Right.
You have to have boundaries for yourself. It's impossible for people to honor your boundaries when you don't communicate that there are boundaries. And if you don't have them set, that's one. Another one is, and this is a hard one for a lot of people, remove work-related communication from your personal devices.
Good.
Now, I know that's hard because people, I need my phone. Well, you created a culture where you need your phone.
Right.
You know?
Good. Let me jump back on boundaries, and then I want to get to
that.
Let's
go to boundaries.
That's really good.
Yeah.
All right. So boundaries, what if my pastor, what if there's some spiritual leaning toward, hey, I really need you for this project. How do you create clear boundaries where, no, I'm going to be off at 5:00 every night. And that's my boundary.
Yeah.
How do we do with our senior pastor or senior leadership?
I honestly think you just answered that question. You communicate it. Hey, pastor, here's where my heart is. Please understand. My heart and my job and my service is to help you push this mission forward. Mm-hmm. But pastor, I want to be able to do it healthy. In order for me to do it healthy, this is what I need for my personal...
For the long haul.
This is going to help me do what you're asking me to do in health. And when I do it healthy, I'll do it in excellence.
Yeah.
Right? You give vision. Pastors, leadership, they need vision. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's like, oh man, my bad. I didn't mean to reach out to you at this time. But a lot of times when you feed into it, what you don't deal with, you give access and ability to grow. You allow it to grow.
Right.
And so if you don't deal with it with your senior leadership or your direct supervisor...
Right.
Then guess what? They're going to, like, that's okay. Yeah.
And then that's going to affect your family.
Absolutely.
Because your spouse, your kids are going to see.
Now your wife doesn't like your job.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And now when it's time to go to work, your kids are like, oh.
Dad's going to work again.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So let's dive into the personal device thing again, because I think that's great.
Yeah.
One tool that we use on our team, and we're pretty good with this, is we use Slack.
Yep.
We use Slack for business communication.
Yes.
We use text in our personal phones for personal communication.
Yes.
So if it is a Slack message, it means you get to this when you get back to your desk.
Absolutely.
Okay? It's not an emergency. I don't need you now. When you get back to your desk, you'll see an unread Slack message and you'll get to it.
Right.
Okay? That's what Slack is used for. And that differentiates that business and personal for us. So that if there's a text at 10:00 at night,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to answer it.
Yeah.
We've already established, if it's work related, put it in Slack. I'll get to it later.
Yeah.
If it's a personal thing, you can text me at 10, if there's an emergency or something.
Yeah.
But so how do you feel about that? Some boundaries.
So here's the issue with stuff like Slack and whatever other communication apps that we use.
Yeah.
It's still on your phone.
That's fair.
So
you have to check your notifications.
So here's the thing. Relaxation is not just physical.
Good.
It's mental.
That's a good point.
It's mental. And so
I got that Slack message there.
Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's good.
Because I read the subject line.
Right.
And so now, even though I'm not going to respond, I'm still thinking.
Right. So I'm wondering if you take, I don't think I have Slack notifications on my phone.
Yeah.
I have it on my computer, so when I get back to my desk, I can see that unread message there. But I think you're right. I think are there ways like that we can create boundaries digitally?
Yes.
Where I'm not even seeing it.
Yeah, there's a couple. One way is disable your notifications.
Yep.
It's a little extra step, but at the end of the day, I disable my notifications and I don't show
open. And there are ways that you can automate that.
Absolutely.
Whether that's Zapier, whether that is apps on your phone, Focus apps, things like that, that will turn that stuff off for you at certain times.
Turn it off. Number two, if let's say that's not a thing, we try something else. Take some time throughout the day that's me time, right? So there's an hour, 2 hours where you say, hey, I'm going to cut my phone off and I'm going to literally put my device to the side. And I'm not going to check it. And I'm going to do something that brings me rest. That's different for different people. Reading a book, taking a walk, watching a movie, going out and getting ice cream. Like, whatever it is for you.
Yep.
But take the time to honor yourself and to love yourself enough to create that boundary for yourself and take your phone and just put it on your nightstand and go away.
Yeah. It's ice cream for you, isn't it?
You know, hey,
cookies,
I love ice
cream.
You know, honestly,
what's your favorite flavor?
I don't like strawberry ice cream. Is the best to me.
Okay, so just... regular strawberry
ice cream with the chunks in it. I need the chunks. That's what makes it strawberry.
I'll give you that one. I'll give you the chunks. Yeah, that's good. All right, so finish this out here. How did you guys land in your workshop?
So, man, we landed on an acronym. And I told them, I said, in order for us to build healthy teams and unify teams, we have to have clear vision. And that word clear is an acronym. So C stands for character. L stands for leadership. E stands for energy, A stands for awareness, and R stands for resilience. And if you increase in these areas and be intentional in these areas, we'll be able to push forward, we'll be able to have clear vision, right, pun intended, and we'll be able to build unified teams. But if we don't have clear vision, everyone is lost.
Good. So you have a lot of people who are clear and hot, I think.
Clear and hot. Yeah, clear.
Thanks for your time, Don. Really appreciate
it,
man.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Sharita Harkness. Sharita, you're talking here at SALT about the difference in architect versus engineer, right? And how God uses us in that, and about how he created, and then he filled in the details. You want to walk me through that?
Yeah. So a lot of times when we think as creatives, we think about chapter one, Genesis. God created, in the beginning, the heavens and the earth, and we go through this long list, and we love to identify with that chapter because it identifies us as a creative, right? But then we kind of skip over chapter two, which is actually this more form structure where God is filling in all the details of creation and where he invites humanity to co-create with him. And so we miss that. So I'm just talking a little bit more in detail about what that means and the architectural words in Hebrew that are attached to God's mastery as an architect, as well as how then you fast forward. That makes sense that Jesus would come to earth as a carpenter. And we say he's the carpenter and we think wood. But actually, that word in Hebrew means that he is a fashioner of all materials. So then you look at why he makes a whole bunch of, different analogies to stone and why he makes analogies to being a cornerstone and all these things. Well, Galilee is surrounded by stone. So he didn't just work with wood. He worked with wood. He worked with stone. He worked with metal.
Yeah.
And you look at the disciples. He pulled people from all over. He worked with all different types of materials to build them up. So it's just talking about people being engineered or architected by God. The same
great
thing we
point.
Should do.
So you were telling me that you discovered a book that kind of walks through the difference in architect and engineer, and that was transformative for you.
Yeah, there's a book I found it in LA at the Broad Museum. Okay. And I was going for a little creative date for myself. And it says 101 things that I learned in architecture school. And so there were a couple phrases that stood out to me, and I talk about those in a little while when we close. But they all led me back to this idea of if I'm made in God's image, what is God, an architect or an engineer? Because an architect actually makes space for the things that he's creating and for people to interact with it.
Good.
And the engineer tries to only do things that they know. So I'm going to make something that I know, and it's, I know this one thing. I don't know enough about everything else to like make space for people.
Right.
So what did God call us to be, architects or engineers?
Okay. And I can be one of either.
You
and
can be one of either.
How do I discover that? How do I walk through that self-identification process?
I would speak for myself.
Okay.
So it's in the Word. Like the everything you need to know is in the Word of God. And if you look back at Genesis.
Well, how do I know if I'm an architect or an engineer?
As far as just like what you do?
Yeah, well,
we're
or my calling.
Technically, we're all engineers.
Okay.
All an engineer is someone that is usually concerned with things in and of themselves. So everybody, by nature, we are engineers. We're concerned about what we need to do, our sustainability, what we need. But architects think about other people. They design for other people. They create for other people. So it's not so much what should I be as so much what should I live out of.
Good. All right. So bring this into church world for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're talking to church creatives. We're talking to worship leaders,
yeah.
tech guys, pastors.
Yeah.
How does this bring me into church world with this topic?
So I think there's probably two levels. The first would be your team. So you have a team, and a lot of times we want to engineer people into being what we want them to be.
Good
we
point.
We want our
yes.
team to be this way, and this right. is our brand, and this blah, blah, blah. And you have to release that. And we heard Meredith talk earlier this week about lending your dash, surrendering your dash, submitting it back to God. And
yes.
so in order for you to create a culture of architecting, you got to give people space to just not only commune with God, but to be able to commune with one another and then look at all of the things you have. Because architecting is also about not just space, but how people interface with one another. So how do your people interface with you? And then if you're talking about on the second level of fires, like church and community, are we making space or are architecting space for people to come in and be able to experience God in a way that they could never experience him otherwise? An interface is a connection, right? And so if we're meant to be a human interface between heaven and earth,
Good.
Then we should be actually encouraging people, drawing people in to connect to a source. It's not about us engineering how they do that.
Good point.
Architecting space for God to do show up how he wants to in the space we provide. And not just on Sunday, but also in our communities, mm-hmm. in the way that we live. Because we've already experienced 2020. We are the building, right? It's not the building, physical building itself.
Right.
So then
right.
if that's the case, then every single person in my church, I should be architecting them to be able, or they should feel like they have the ability to architect space, no matter where they go, for people to have encounters with God through their lives.
Yeah, I think we're seeing more and more as the church moves more and more digital.
Yeah.
Moves more and more, you know, online, not just as a live stream camera in the back of the room, but as relational online.
Yeah.
Whether that's virtual reality, whether that is, you know, in online spaces and chat environment, you know, things like that. I think that definitely applies there. You want to speak to that any?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I did a breakout earlier for a pre-conference, and we talked about that very thing, about not just looking at the technology that we have to be able to say, okay, this is our service, but actually using the service that we have and becoming a product. What product could we present to the world? What product can you create in your community through what you have, the resources that you have, that actually solves a problem for them, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday.
Yes.
Right? And so online is a part of that. If you, you know, doing groups online, I think it's just also spending time and creating space in your teams to innovate new ways to do something that you might not have done before.
Yeah. So the name of this podcast is Making Sunday Happen. So I do think I don't think we're going to go away from having a worship gathering, worship experience, but I definitely think, you know, that is not the one-time event of the week that we should only do.
Right.
You know, it is definitely a throughout the week thing.
So Sunday should be your touchdown. And Monday through Saturday should be your practice time.
That's a great point.
I need you to be in some tapes.
Yeah.
I need you to get it in there, right? You need to be practicing.
The touchdown is the celebration.
That's it.
It's the together and celebrate that we won or that, you know, absolutely.
Right.
But I agree with you. During the week needs to be that practice. Yeah. It needs to be getting the ball down the field.
Right. Well, how many minutes in the Sunday service?
Yes.
What, 80?
Yep.
And if you, Mike Todd, you probably got like 50,000. So you could go as long as you need to go. But like, how many minutes do you actually have with them? And then how many minutes are they retaining information?
Good point.
Especially if you know that images move now anywhere from 15 to 30 seconds.
Yes.
So I'm trying to retain information, listening to you, and then everything is directed towards me. So I need somewhere else to be able then to go live that out, to practice that out. And for you to be a part instrumentally in my week throughout in some way, whether it's online or a playback or a Sunday service that's a playback, like that then gives me reason to feel connected to you, but also to want to come back and celebrate Sunday. Like, I can't wait till Sunday so we can start all over again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again. Yeah. Great points. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you being here. It's lovely meeting you.
Thank
I'm so
you
excited
too.
That you're going to close us out here this week.
Great.
Are you nervous? You ready?
Yes. God is in control.
You're going to do great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
My name is Sharon, and I'm an alcoholic with a split and headache.
My advice. Find a reason to be here that's bigger than you are.
I read about this family in the paper. I think this is it.
Dad, I have a situation. I want to look pretty for mommy.
Well, maybe just a little off the cheeks.
God is here with us right now, and we are here with you.
Something about that little girl without a mom, sick, and the family's bled dry from all the hospital bills. I think I'm supposed to help. Hi, Sharon.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to come by and give you this. I just made dinner if you want to stay.
Would love to.
What are you doing? I met this woman. She's a mess.
Perfect. She'll fit right in. 400,000 plus in medical bills, all 3 credit cards maxed out.
And your income's only $3,600 a month.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not good, Ed.
No, ma'am.
I'm going to put together a press kit for a corporate donations, that kind of thing. Smile. Girls, help your daddy out. I've owned 4 small businesses. I'm good at plenty of things. Taking no for an answer ain't one of them.
Daddy's no for his head.
You're asking us to reduce the family's medical bills due to hardship.
No, I'm asking you to erase them.
All of them.
Was that funny?
Daddy! My belly hurts.
Oh, you want to go on an adventure?
Michelle will need to fly 700 miles to the Children's Hospital.
Are you telling me we need a plane now?
How exactly do you recommend we get a plane, Doc?
I'll get you a plane, I promise.
We are going to save this girl, you hear me?
We're gonna need a lot of shovels.
This is our last chance. If we don't take it, Michelle dies.
How did it become your responsibility to save her?
Because I'm here. Because I can.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Hey guys, that was the trailer for the movie Ordinary Angels. I would highly recommend you go see this movie. It is fantastic. It's uplifting, emotional. I've seen a screener of this movie, and I would just highly recommend you and your family going to see it. Really great. We as Christians need to support these kinds of films, especially on opening weekend, so be sure to go do that. Well, thank you so much for hanging out. You can watch any of our 419 episodes of this podcast at MakingSundayHappen.com. Be sure to check us out there. Watch all episodes. You can subscribe to the show there and on YouTube as well. Next week, I'm going to be talking to Jim Thorne from Messenger AVL and Joe Blair. Joe is the production director at Fellowship Bible Church. I'll be talking with both of these guys about designing your stage and what LED screen should you be considering. How do you engage the heart through environmental staging and design, all of that good stuff. All about designing your stage for Sunday. That's next week. We'll go out there and create some incredible worship experiences at your church this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.